to hear God's word in this wonderful psalm, Psalm 7, which says, O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honour in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the peoples shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. So I'm going to have a look at this seventh psalm this evening. I have on occasion been working our way through some of these opening psalms. We've reached Psalm 7. I love the book of Psalms. I've read the Psalms. I read the Psalms every day along with my other readings. All life is contained in those psalms if you're looking for it. And the opening psalms in particular are very instructive. They kind of lay the ground for the rest of the book of Psalms and introduce to us some very important principles and lessons which we can follow and take to heart and help us to make use of to understand what follows in the rest of the book. And so a long time ago, we looked, for example, at why Psalm 1 is Psalm 1. There's a reason. And we've moved on since then. We're up to the seventh psalm here this evening. So if you'd like to turn there, and then we can continue. So in recent years, we've seen a popular movement regarding the speaking out against wrongdoing and injustice. You're no doubt familiar with the Me Too movement and the women who began to speak out against the abuse that they often suffered at the hands of powerful and influential men, particularly in the entertainment and the film industry. But seems that there's a problem that is much wider than that in almost every walk of life. And that seemed to open a whole floodgate, didn't it, of misdeeds that began to come to light. It was a little bit like a dam burst, wasn't it? After a little trickle, suddenly there was a whole flood of women who had suffered various abuse at the hands of men, but had been silent for years, but then they came forward. My own stepmother was abused as a teen. It was something that she would never speak about. I still don't know very much about what happened then, but it was something connected with a priest in the Catholic Church. I think it's one of the things that helped to turn her against all things religious. She never really had anything good to say about the church or the gospel or any of those things. I guess it was a huge surprise to her when I became a Christian. But she wouldn't speak about what happened. And in those circumstances, it's sometimes, well, our curiosity gets the better of us, isn't it? We'd like to be able to know a little bit more, but it's very hard to investigate and to find out and to discover things like that. As we come to Psalm 7, we find that even the title of this psalm, which is titled A Meditation, which means it's a psalm that is brought to us in order to make us think and give some consideration to the things that are written in the following verses, a meditation of David when he passed through a particular experience. But it hides a mystery that we can't look very far into. Here in this psalm is an event in the life of David. We know that David, as it seems to us, from his life story that's written in Samuel, but also here in the Psalms throughout, that he had a very turbulent life. I'm sure there were periods in between of peace and comfort. I mean, the Lord did give him peace from his enemies all around. I'm sure that he knew those times. But here's an event whose details are not really given to us. What happened, we can't be entirely sure, but what happened moved David to song. And at least he didn't put into song the events of that time, but he put into it the fallout, as it were, the consequence of that time of difficulty. And so what happens remains largely invisible for us. This man, Cush, a Benjamite, we're told at the beginning of the title of the psalm, who is he? I don't know. What did he do? I don't know. What did he say to David? I don't know. And there are a whole lot of things that we just don't know. But the cry to God that David recorded, made here in this psalm for justice, has been kept. It's been preserved for our help and for our instruction. The man and the moment might be lost, but the petition and the petitioner have been preserved. And both David and the petition that he brings to God here in this psalm are both here to guide us in our own prayer life, to encourage us not just to pray generally to God, but specifically and in a more effective way than we might otherwise pray if left to our own devices. So along with one or two other of these early psalms, it's a psalm that instructs us in how to bring our prayers to the Lord. Particularly when events in our life conspire, as they sometimes do, to open us, perhaps unfairly, to expose us, perhaps unfairly, to injustice. We live in an unjust world. It's all around us on every side. For many years, those women who sat in silence suffered injustice. No doubt people continue to suffer injustice. You know, this psalm tells us, if nothing else, we have an outlet for the injustices of this world, which is of immense benefit to us. And you know, at times we find ourselves in David's position. There's hostility, there are enemies on every side. You feel isolated and alone, and God is our only resort. So we can take comfort in a lesson from the psalmist David here. I guess we could title this psalm hashtag Lord Me Too, because these things sometimes come upon us. Now, if you've ever been spoken against and you find that you are the victim of slander and gossip, and everybody's talking about you in an unfair way, and you need somewhere firm to land, just someone to listen to your side of the account and to take note of your situation, to hear your side. If you've ever found yourself in that position, if you find yourself in that position going forward, turn to this psalm, because the opening three words that David uses here, and I know that in your English version there'll be more than three words, there may be four, even five words, but in the Hebrew there's only three. Those opening three words are music to our ears, Yahweh my God, which is translated here, O Lord my God. It might be slightly different in the translation that you have in front of you. Yahweh, my God. This is, first of all, an impassioned prayer. It is full to the brim of the raw emotion of a man who is passing through very difficult times. And that's one of the things I like about the Psalms. Life can be difficult, is difficult, and it's good to see we're not alone. David went through these things before we ever did. So this is an impassioned prayer or song that begins with this passionate address to God the Lord. I guess I would hope that your translation has capital letters for the Lord, just to emphasize the fact that this is the Lord God. He is God, excluding all else. And more than that, this one who alone is Lord, the Most High God, is my God. That's really important, isn't it? David lays a hold of God, lays claim to God, as it were, as his God. The ultimate arbitrator, the supreme seat of justice. You know, a miscarriage in the world will not miscarry with God. You know, we have a well-known hymn that we sometimes sing, you'll know it, which exhorts us to take it to the Lord in prayer. And of course, David does this. This very difficult situation, as I say, we can't look into it. It would only be surmising to guess what was going on. But he turns it over to Yahweh, to the only God, to the God who is also his God and our God. Why he does that, we'll see. Here in Psalm 7, whatever's been said, whatever's been done, whatever he's been accused of, whatever slander has been thrown at him, and you know, even if it isn't true, mud sticks, doesn't it? So even if you're free from any blame and has done nothing wrong, some blame in some way is going to attach to you, because people are always going to look at you and say, ah, there's no smoke without fire, and things like that. So it sticks, doesn't it, whatever happens. So that difficulty still stands. And yet in coming to God, in coming to Yahweh, he is our refuge. He is a refuge for us, for me, and for you. Now, the Authorized Version and the New King James Version say, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. And we have a slight nuance on that, because other translations don't use that word trust, although the Hebrew does mean that. That's why it's good to look in lots of different translations, because you pick up lots of very useful and instructive things from that. That he is a refuge for us. That word trust is the word refuge. So what does that tell us? The Lord is a trusted refuge and trustworthy. Two things. The Lord our God, the God of heaven and earth, is both a place to hide and a place to confide. And those two things are really important. We want to hide away from the injustice and the hostility of the world. We want to unburden ourselves. And God offers both those things to us when we turn to him. That's why David is turning to him. He is a refuge and a hiding place, but also a confiding place. Psalm 62, for example, verse 8 tells us, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And that's exactly what he is. It's exactly what David finds. God is both of those things. And sometimes we need that, don't we? When the situation in our life is so difficult that we sit there alone, pierced through by the situation that is facing us and upon us, then a psalm like Psalm 7 has a tremendous opening line to encourage us. O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. And it's a grand relief immediately, isn't it? From the emotional pain, from the mental pain, from the anguish that we sometimes suffer, which David was passing through at this particular time. And we need to notice that the second line of that, your versions, I just said a moment ago, will say trust, but the Hebrew says that you are my refuge. That word means a fortress. And that adds another layer of help to us, isn't it? What safer place for us to go than to go and hide ourselves in the fortress that is our God. And so David's words, as you begin to read this psalm, whatever happened, his words crackle with the latent power of the Lord to hear and to help and to deliver those who call upon him, and to deliver us even from the slings and arrows and the bitter words and accusations that sometimes fall upon us from the world around us. The world has a very dim view of Christians and the Christian faith at the moment, particularly if it comes to gender, marriage, human sexuality, and things like that. And if you speak up about those things, you'll know how David felt. I have friends on the internet who do speak out about these things, and they are pilloried and find themselves abused by all kinds of people from all over the world. But their words, when you turn to God, will fall uselessly against the fortress wall that God is for us. My God, Yahweh, is a fortress and a refuge, so that in weakness you suddenly find that you are in a position of strength as you engage with that hostile world. And you engage with the world from a place of strength and safety. Some weeks ago we were in Wales visiting some friends and attending a wedding, and one of the days that we had free, we went to Chepstow Castle. It's a nice castle to visit. I didn't think it was as good as Skipton Castle, if you're familiar with Skipton Castle up in the north of England, which is more complete. But it was impressive. And at one point I stood and looked over the battlements. The river was down below, and some houses just across on the other bank were very tiny in comparison to the castle. You could imagine how safe and sound you'd be if you'd sought refuge in that place. So obviously we can't go through this psalm line by line because we'd be here all evening. But it is a psalm to make us meditate on the abundant help that we have in our God when you and I, as David and others, inevitably face the hostility of the world and pass through very difficult places. Yahweh, my God, is how the psalm begins. And just three thoughts for us as we think about this psalm. The first one is this, that we can take heart through God. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, whatever difficulty, we can take heart through our God. Famously, David said, "Man would swallow me up, fighting all day against me." And occasionally, the world feels like that, doesn't it? Life can be a battle, and it can be a battle that is made all the harder because of the colours we wear, because of the banner that we stand under. And increasingly nowadays, we recently had a visit from the Christian Institute, and they're very good at taking the measure of what's happening in and around the country. Very helpful to hear what they have to say. But those of us who have been in the faith for some years know that increasingly nowadays it feels sometimes that it's open season on Christians, isn't it? You know, our conservative biblical views sit very uncomfortably alongside a libertarian, free-wheeling world. And that is not always easy. Seems to me that the days in which we live, we're in days where Frank Sinatra's My Way is on steroids. Everybody's doing everything their own way and not taking a blind bit of notice of what this word says. And, you know, just because we stay with and stick to what is blindingly obvious, the world rips into us. Well, verse 2 brings that kind of reaction out, doesn't it? David cries to God, "Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver." That's a very graphic statement, isn't it? There's been this vicious attack on David's name, David's reputation. And he cries out to God with these very graphic words. And we're able to take heart in these things, because though we're in danger, it's clear from the psalm that God is able to deliver his people and to deliver his servant. And David's language here is important to take notice of. I guess that's why in the title of the psalm it tells us to meditate. So don't just read the psalm, but read the psalm and think about what David is saying. Think about the language that he uses. Think about what we're being told. Certainly his words in verse 2 tell us that he's in grave danger. You know, life can be brutal. Life can very quickly turn very nasty in a short space of time. And left to face a godless world on our own, we can be sure that things would become very messy indeed. The world would tear us in pieces like a lion, rending us where there is none to help. And that's the situation that the psalmist finds himself in. And it conjures up pictures, doesn't it, of the lion's den into which Daniel was thrown, for example. You know, the intention of Nebuchadnezzar's and Darius, as the Persians and the people who threw him into that den, was that Daniel would be ripped up and an end would be made of him. And then after that, the Lord preserved him, of course, but Daniel's accusers were thrown into the lion's den. And that's exactly what happened. They were crunched to bits by the lions. And life can sometimes be like that. David makes his cry to God, and it is similar to the cry to God that is made, interestingly, in Psalm 22, which is also a psalm of David, but which speaks to us about the Lord Jesus and his experience. You will know that David is a type for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 20 of Psalm 22, David cries out, "Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth." Again, he's in a difficult situation. And you know, the messianic nature of that psalm, the relationship that David, the psalmist, had with the Lord, helps us to take heart, because it's a reassurance to us, isn't it, that the Lord knows exactly what we're passing through. You know, this experience of David mirrors the experience of the Son of God. He knows exactly what the world is and what it's like. And so we can take heart from that. How a beastly world would rip us and tear us and rend us in pieces. The Lord knows our danger. He knows our peril. And again, we need to focus in on the language that David uses. If you had access to a Young's literal translation of the scripture, there'd be a slightly different translation here in these opening verses. And that brings out the point. What David is saying here is, in you, I have already put my trust. That doesn't come out in the English, does it? It says, in you, I put my trust. As though he's going forward. But the Hebrew actually says, in you, I have already put my trust. In other words, David has been in the Lord, in that refuge, for some time now. We could say he's been there all along. He's found in his experience that God is a refuge and a fortress for him. And in one sense, he never leaves that fortress. He's always covered by the Lord. Yahweh, our God, is a constant refuge for us. Psalm 90 recognizes that fact, doesn't it? O Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge, it's the same word, in every generation. And so we can take great heart from these. You know, a multitude of lions cannot rip up our refuge and rend him in pieces. You're safe when you turn to God and when you turn your situation to God. And he does deliver his people according to our cry. So we take heart in these things. But secondly, we find hope in God as well. And sometimes hope is found in the most unexpected of places. Some of you might know, if you're not familiar with the film Schindler's List. And you might know that Oskar Schindler was an opportunist entrepreneur looking to make his fortune on the back and the misfortune of all that was going on in the Second World War. He was an industrialist. He was also a member of the Nazi Party. And he loved the lavish life and the spoils of war. But at the same time, despite being a member of the Nazi Party, you will perhaps know that he saved over 1,000 Polish Jews. Who would have expected help to come from a member of the Nazi Party? And sometimes hope and help comes in the most unexpected places, doesn't it? David looks to the Lord, who is described here in this psalm as the just judge. We know from Genesis he's the just judge of all the earth. And where does David find hope? Well, he finds it in God's anger. That's a surprise, isn't it? Verse 6, arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift yourself up, because of the rage of my enemies, rise up for me to the judgment that you have commanded. David might have found hope and help in God's grace, in God's goodness, in his mercy, in his faithfulness towards his covenant people. But in the psalm, he finds help in God's anger. And I want to be careful, speaking of God's anger here. It seems to me we've been conditioned to be nice in our generation. We don't often, if at all, think of this particular side of God. We prefer to dwell on the side that tells us to love our enemies and so on. We're mindful, perhaps, last week in our Lord's Supper service in the evening around our meal, I mentioned James and John, who, as the Lord set his face to go up to Jerusalem, were ready to call fire down on the Samaritans, for which the Lord rebuked them, reminding them that they didn't know what spirit they were of. So we're not so keen on anger and so on, but there is a place for righteous anger and for just retribution. And what we find here in the psalm is that David's God is not a lopsided God. He's not always kind and loving to the exclusion of anger and wrath. You notice there's a very striking verse in verse 11, isn't it? God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. You don't hear that proclaimed so often, do you? But this is the Lord's word. The psalm obviously and clearly tells us that the Lord's judgment is not gentle and non-violent. And if you want proof of that, have a look at Psalm 149. and have a look at the fact that the saints are going to execute judgment on those who are not followers of the Lord. So the world might be quick to get angry and pursue us, but our God, my Lord, is far bigger than all of their anger. And the psalm very clearly teaches us that the Lord grows angry also. And you know, his anger is directed not only against sin, but against all those who are against him and against us. And that's why David finds hope in the Lord's anger, because God will deal with them. The "my God" of verse 1 is the judge of all men in verse 6 through 9. And you know, David is very general about this, but if you have a look at Acts 17 verse 31, you'll find that we can be a little bit more specific. He has ordained a man to judge the whole world. That man is Jesus Christ, his son. So there's hope and there's comfort for us here in these verses. For all the nastiness and viciousness of the world, you know, God will bring everyone into judgment, whoever they are and whatever they do against us. And so this is very helpful for us. And we can take comfort from the psalm in these things. You know, there's a sense in which here in this psalm, our defense is not only in God as a refuge, but our defense is in a God who is angry with the wicked every day, who will certainly deal with sin. So even if there appears to be injustice, even if there's a miscarriage of justice of which we are the victims, the Lord is going to correct all of that. And then finally we can take heart in the praise of God. You can't fail to notice, I think, with this particular psalm, that the end of the psalm is very different from the beginning of the psalm. If the beginning of the psalm began with an impassioned plea to God, the end of the psalm is passionate praise. That last line, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Most High God." And it should be obvious by the time you reach verse 17 what has happened. Either David has already been helped and delivered and vindicated of this thing of which he has been accused, or he very clearly and definitely anticipates that that's what the outcome is going to be. And this encourages us, doesn't it, to come to the Lord, not just with impassioned pleas, but with the definite confidence of a positive outcome for us. We, of course, can sing in the fire, as it were, as Christians, because we have the Lord with us. Like the apostles, remember, who counted it joy to be abused and roughly treated by the council in Acts chapter 5, and went home rejoicing, having suffered for the Lord. Yes, we can sing in the fire as we go through difficulties, but I think the truth of the matter is we sing better and louder when we are delivered. And this is a praise, a loud praise to our God. Verse 17 tells us, doesn't it? Prayer works. It's worthwhile going to God in prayer. Relief comes to us. God deliver us. Deliverance can be expected. The Lord is ready to help in trouble. In fact, Psalm 46 tells us he's a ready help in trouble. The Lord is our refuge. And so we can resort to him and take courage and not lose heart. And the thoughts and principles here in this seventh psalm. You're going to find them repeated as you go through the psalms later in the book. It's very helpful to read the psalms often. It helps you to pray and teaches you how to come to the Lord.